Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Luke and then read and discuss the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Sisters of the Pax Christi Liturgical Retreat Center, 4601 Cal Allen Drive in Corpus Christi, are offering an Encounter with God retreat as a day of reflection, retreat, and renewal. The Sisters offer this retreat to those who currently assist in the liturgical life of the Church as sacristans, February 12th, to openly discuss their needs and the needs of others within the Catholic Church. They invite you to discuss your purpose in life. The retreat for Eucharistic ministers is March 13th, hospitality ministers March 27th, and lectors April 10th. For more information on these and other retreat possibilities and to register, please call the Pax Christi Liturgical Retreat Center, 361-241-8479.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this Sunday morning?
Very good, Barbara, and yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And I hope all of our listeners are well today.
Yes. You know, as I was preparing this, I realized and I looked at the date and I thought, oh my gosh, we're about a month away from Lent. You know, not to fast forward, but, you know, here we are.
Yeah, well, we're almost a month away from Christmas, so we're kind of caught right in the middle, but it's all one big mystery. And that's the mystery of Jesus Christ. So that's why we're here. So
it is.
Share his word and to see how we can put it into our own lives.
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me the proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were more widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to the widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet, not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the beginning of this gospel, Bishop, you know, Jesus was amazing the crowd by what he was saying, but then it seems like the crowd was expecting one thing and Jesus started talking about another thing and they weren't too happy with that message.
Right. Well, you know, one thing that I went back and looked at last Sunday's reading, and it's our readings throughout the year in the different synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're continuous readings, so it's kind of a continuous story with a few interruptions along the way. But if you go back to last Sunday, what we find there is that Jesus was in the synagogue and he was handed the scroll. Today we would hand somebody a book, but in those days it was a rolled-up scroll. And he went to the place where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." So this is what they were hearing when they were amazed at his word. Probably, as you say, their expectations of the interpretation of that was different than what Jesus presented to them. So the context is that, being in the synagogue, listening to this verse from the prophet Isaiah. But one thing we have to recognize as well, we must recognize, is that Jesus is the truth, right? The way, the truth, and the life. And sometimes the truth hurts. Not sometimes. Most of the time, the truth hurts. Because the Word of God is penetrating. It should penetrate through our own darkness, through our own sins, through our own mistakes, through our own weaknesses, so that we can give our life over totally to God himself and trust in him completely. So reading the truth and interpreting it, of course, Jesus interpreting it for them and bringing an example, that truth hurt, because he knew he was speaking to them, but that the action of God was actually possible outside their circles. Mm-hmm. You know, we can all get justified in our practice of faith, and our practice of religion. Our practice of faith is to give ourselves totally in a trust, a blind trust, over to the hands of God. So what their thought is that there is salvation only within their group and their faith, their religion. So Jesus points out to them that during the time of the prophet Elijah, that there were many widows and there was a famine over the whole land. And they would, I mean, you would think, well, we're the good people. We're the ones that follow the law. We're the ones that do the good things, etc. We're the ones that pray. We're the ones that have done everything right. And yet Jesus says that the prophet Elijah was sent only to the widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon, which is a Gentile, outside of the religion. So he was sent to them and not to those suffering famine within.
Hence the reason they weren't very happy with him.
They weren't very happy. And then the second one was that during the prophet Elisha, who followed Elijah, that there were many lepers, but the only one that was cleansed through the prophet was Naaman the Syrian, again, another Gentile outside of the Jewish community, the faith. So this angered them, of course, you know, because, we all have expectations that we have it right, that we're doing the right thing, and we justify ourselves. But the truth that Jesus wants to bring is that God loves everyone, that those who probably should not expect from human terms help or assistance do through God's mercy, and that this is the message that Jesus wants to bring to everyone. Don't set up such high expectations or don't set up such self-justifying manners of your own life, but be open to God's work and to be amazed by the work of God, the words of God in other sectors of the world. So especially in our times today, I think this is such a powerful message, because there is such a movement of people, proliferation, you might say, of an awareness anyway, of religions that we didn't hear of before. But the truth is the truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. the truth of his gospel. But God can still work in others so that he can bring us all into one people. It's a long journey, but let's not close our own hearts. If God didn't close his heart to us when, while we were sinners, he sent Jesus, then we should not close our hearts to others that we may disagree with or who may be in error. We cannot deny the fact that there are errors in teachings, but that we cannot close our hearts to these people, but to show the mercy of God, to show the love of God through our own person so that they can be amazed by the love of God even through ourselves.
You know, and I was reading the Magnificat from February, you know, in the beginning for this particular Sunday, and it said, the prophetic words of Christ enable us to know fully, even as we are fully known by God from the first moment he formed us in the womb. Though the furious people of Nazareth try to kill him, Christ safely passes through the midst of them, giving us this assurance: they will fight against you, but will not prevail, for I am with you to deliver you. Love never fails.
Right. Well, I think I could restate something in light of that, of what I was trying to say or was getting at, is that Jesus came not to embarrass us. He didn't come to shut us down. He didn't come to condemn us or to judge us, even our way of practicing our faith and in a religion. What he came to do is to bring us the truth, to clarify, to purify ourselves first, but also the way that we act, the religious practices that we have. And I also wanted to quote something that was in the Magnificat. As you know, after the gospel, there's always a commentary from someone, and it happens to be this Sunday from Kara Lubick, whose Word of Life we read every month, and we will read in the next portion of the show. But she says something very beautiful here, too. She says that when Jesus taught, he spoke with authority. His teachings are the words of the one who is truth in person. That is why we should assimilate his words anew, as we try to do with the Word of Life, to assimilate, take into ourselves those words sentence by sentence. Let us take them one by one to the point where they penetrate our very being, become part of us, and change our way of thinking, making new persons of us.
Wow.
You know, I think it's in our political life, in our religious life, our social life, the more absolute we become in our position, the more rigid we become in our beliefs, the more tension there is in the world, the more it comes to the point of fighting, wars, are grown up because of this absolutizing everything. Sure, the Word of God is truth. Jesus is the truth. But if we look at how Jesus brought that truth, the way that he did it, he spoke the truth. People were amazed at the truth. He was there for them. The truth hurts, but he was not there to condemn them. He was there to call them to a conversion, to call them to a new openness to the Word of God. And this is something that we should also be aware of in our own life. You know, the gospel is not just a book of comfort to take comfort in when we need a kind word, but it's something, as she says here, to assimilate into ourselves so that we can see clearly what God wants of the world, what he wants of us in our life, and to bring the world to peace, which it so desperately needs.
Very true. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. The Corpus Christi Cathedral Knights of Columbus Council 11107 invite all parish families and everyone in the community to participate in praying the Rosary. The second Saturday of every month, following the 1205 Mass, families may proceed to Emmanuel Chapel within the cathedral at 505 North Upper Broadway to pray the Rosary. Participants are encouraged to bring their own rosaries. For those who do not have one, the Knights will provide finger rosaries along with instructions on how to properly pray the rosary. For more information, please call 361-518-7615. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this being the first Sunday in February, we have the Word of Life. And as I told you in the break, Bishop, I like them all, but I really liked this one this month.
Yeah. I think they're wisely chosen. You know, last month, January, we spoke of justice. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, love involves also justice. This month, we'll speak of peace. The Word of Life speaks of peace from Psalm 34. And looking ahead just a little bit, next month, it's mercy.
Yeah.
From the Gospel of St. Luke. So justice, peace, and mercy. And I think if we put those together and kind of keep all of them in mind and try to put them into practice in our daily life, we'll see ourselves begin to, as we spoke of earlier, to really change, you know, ourselves and the way that the Lord wants us to change. So the Word of Life for this month is seek peace and pursue it. It's from Psalm 34. In this psalm, David tells the people gathered before him of his joy and gratitude to God. He had experienced danger and anguish, but he called trustingly on the God of Israel and found peace again. This hymn is primarily about God and his mercy, telling of his powerful presence alongside the poor and the oppressed who call upon him. Wanting to help others obtain salvation as he has done, David went on to suggest some inner attitudes to adopt. Avoid doing evil, do good always instead. He emphasized the need to not malign others. Words, in fact, can lead to war. Seek peace and pursue it. In biblical language, peace has several meanings, such as physical and spiritual well-being, or harmony among individuals and peoples. But above all, it is a gift from God through which we discover His fatherly presence. That is why, in order to experience true peace, we need to be passionate and persevering in seeking God in our lives. We can do our part in seeking God by following the voice of our conscience. This always urges us to choose the path of goodness and not the path of evil. Often it is enough to let God find us, as He has been searching for each one of us since time began. Through baptism, we Christians already have a close relationship with Jesus. He is the God who is near and who has promised us peace. He Himself is peace. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who also helps us to share with others the fruits of God's peace that we have experienced. He will show us how to love the people around us and so overcome conflicts by avoiding unfounded allegations, superficial judgments, and gossip. In this way, our hearts will be open to accept others. We may not be able to silence all the guns that bring bloodshed to so many parts of the world. However, we can take the initiative in giving new life to wounded relationships, whether they be in our family, our faith community, at work, or in our towns and cities. Wherever a small or large community is determined to bear witness to the power of love, it becomes possible to build bridges between social groups, churches, and even political parties. Seek peace and pursue it. A sincere search for peace will also help us identify practices that can protect creation, which is God's gift to humanity, and is entrusted to us to care for responsibly for future generations. In 1990, Kiara Lubick wrote to Reverend Niki Niwano, founder of the Japanese Buddhist movement Risheko Shikai, quote, "If human beings are not at peace with God, The earth itself is not at peace. People of faith are aware that the earth suffers when it is not treated according to the plan of God, but is exploited out of self-interest and an endless desire to possess. This selfish desire contaminates the environment more than and before any other kind of pollution, which is merely a consequence. If we discover that all creation is the gift of a Father who loves us, it will be much easier to find a harmonious relationship with nature. If we also discover that this gift is for everyone in the human family and not only a few, greater attention and respect will be given to something that belongs to all humanity, both present and future. Very nice.
Wow, it is. And I'm so glad that this is going to be on the diocesan website because, you know, as you were reading, and I was reading it again for the second or third time, and I kept on finding things in here. It's almost like, where do we start? Because there's so many wonderful...
Well, what struck you the most in it?
Well, I really liked the that peace is physical and spiritual well-being, and it's a gift from God, and I liked fatherly presence. Because I think sometimes, for me personally, I don't think about God as being my father. I think of him as being my friend, but I don't think of that loving father.
That's of course where it all begins. But when you what struck me, and it's kind of in line with that, is where it says words, in fact, can lead to war. Right. When you think of Jesus as the Word of God, it was not the word of war.
Right.
It was the word of peace, the Prince of Peace. So the fact that God has spoken to us as Father, all of his words, all the things that Jesus has communicated to us lead to peace. It's our words. It's our selfishness. Mm-hmm. It's our egotism, our many other faults that lead to war. And how true it is, just one word. It led to the division of the church centuries ago, 500 years ago and more. It can lead to so many things. Look in a family, just a word out of anger, a word out of context can lead to division and to war. Mm-hmm. And I liked also the part where she was saying that we may not be able to ourselves overcome the wars, but we can certainly with our desire for peace, we can heal relationships, we can bring families back together. We can do so much on our level in a small way to bring the world back to a deeper sense of peace and joy.
You know, you were talking about the separation of families, and we probably all experienced it or have friends that experience it. And all it takes is one person to reach out to the other one, you know, kind of swallow that pride that gets in the way to reach out. And then things may not be perfect, but they're better. And it's good role modeling, you know, for the children and grandchildren and things like that to see that reaching out.
Well, yeah, it's a perfect example. And when you were saying that, I thought, you know, we don't reach out to each other in pride. And God didn't reach out to us in pride. Jesus humbled himself.
Right.
And if God can humble himself before the human race, the sinful human race— then it's not easy. I don't mean to say that it's easy, but certainly if we looked at it from that point of view, that Jesus as God could humble himself, taking the form that is ours, a sinful nature, speak to us, work with us, mix with us, stand with us, laugh with us, cry with us, then if we just looked at him and asked for his humility— we could put aside our own pride and, like you said, make a great difference in a family, in a community, in a church, in our churches. So there's so much that we can do. And I think this is it's almost like a call to action, this February Word of Life. It's a call to action for all of us to not just sit here and listen to it and then forget about it. But over the month is to find it again on the website or just read it again. It's on the online. But what can I do to be an instrument of God's peace? We love the song. Make me a channel of your peace. Well, let's not just sing it. Let's go do it.
Do you remember years ago when people used to wear wristbands, and I was thinking it was the "What would Jesus do?"
Yeah.
And that's, you know, coming back when you're in a situation, well, what would he do?
Yeah.
And how can I model that?
But I think, too, you know, one of the beautiful things is the Psalms were prayed by Jesus and were actually written to anticipate him. So he both prayed these Psalms. So he himself prayed the words, seek peace and pursue it. He also came to fulfill that, to be peace. Mm-hmm. So I think if we just kept that in mind throughout the month, seek peace and pursue it, go after it, do it, whatever words we want to use. But even if we just kept in mind, seek peace, mm-hmm. or just peace, peace,
yeah.
peace, you know, throughout the month, I think we would all have a lot of stories to tell.
Exactly. You know, there's one of the paragraphs in the middle. It says, we can do our part in seeking God by following the voice of our conscience. Mm-hmm. It urges us to choose the path of goodness and not the path of evil. And so many times we've talked on this program about having that moment of silence, sometimes when we're in the car. And I'm finding myself personally turning off the radio when I'm driving and just mm-hmm. talking to God
yeah.
and praying.
Yeah.
It's a perfect time to do it.
Right.
And you can still focus on the road.
Right. And, you know, last month, I mean, many people, and I want to thank everyone for their prayers for the bishops who met last month in Chicago. But there was a lot of time for silence for all of us, mm-hmm. both at meals. Mm-hmm. We had silence during meals at times, but also after the conferences between lunch and the next conference. But it really began to sharpen the conscience, you know, that you mm-hmm. could hear the words that were being spoken by Father Cantalamessa, you know, they penetrated more through silence, mm-hmm. and it really sharpened the conscience of who we are, what God wants of us, and it truly is through the Word of God that He forms our conscience and He forms us into another Christ.
Mm-hmm. So we have a beautiful Word of Life for this month to reflect on. So Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord our God, that we may honor you with all our mind and love everyone in truth of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to the program this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.